Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you E79 Gold Mines. Joining me today is their CEO, Ned Summerhayes. Got two projects over in Western Australia, recently listed on the ASX, 7th of October, I believe it was. So lots of news coming out. I'm really excited to bring them to you today. So, Ned, great to see you. Welcome to Small Caps.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Thank you for having us.
Oh, look, I'm really, really interested in hearing what you're doing. You're a West Australian-based explorer. You've got two projects. Because this is the first time that we've spoken to our small caps community, can you just give a brief overview of who are E79 Gold Mines and where you are located?
Yeah, no problem. So E79 Gold Mines is an early-stage gold explorer. We're based in Western Australia. Yeah, we've got some projects in the Murchison and Laverton South area.
So two projects. You raised $7 million recently in the IPO, and this is Greenstone Belts over in WA, two of them. Which one should we start with?
We'll probably start with the Laverton South area.
Okay.
So that for us is our most favourite area. It's the Laverton South, or the Laverton Tectonic Zone, is about 250 kilometres long. It's a very big structure and greenstone belt, and it's endowed with about 30 million ounces of gold. So this is a world-class address. And within that, we're in the southern part. So the northern part and the central part of the Laverton Tectonic Zone are very well explored. There's a number of world-class deposits. The Wallaby deposit is up there. Is quite well explored, but the south is, you know, a little bit forgotten, a little bit of the younger brother maybe. And so we've managed to pick up a nice large land holding there, and also gone into a JV for some ground in the area, just showing how much we like it. And we're looking forward to getting in there and starting to explore.
So you've done a joint venture with St Barbara, is it? But that's not for all of the ground in that area, it's just for a part, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So when we identified the area a number of years ago, we picked up what we decided was the best area, and that's our Lake Indana tenement. That's 100% owned by E79.
Right.
And then we went about trying to expand our footprint in that region. And to do that, we entered into a joint venture agreement with St Barbara for some of their Pingin ground.
With that joint venture, was that before? Because you've only listed like 5 seconds ago, it feels like. I mean, to me, it's like, what do you mean we're in December already? Far out. Was that before you listed, or was that post-listing?
That was before we listed.
Okay. And why the joint venture with St Barbara? Did they want to give some of the ground up? I mean, is it a 50-50? Just explain the joint venture.
Yeah, so the joint venture, we're in the earn-in period at the moment.
Right.
We have the option to earn in 51% of the project by spending a set amount of money in 1 year, and then an extra 29% in the second earn-in period. So that'll give E79 80% and St Barbara 20%. Once those earn-in periods are complete, then the joint venture agreement starts, and E79 will be the manager of the joint venture.
Now, as I speak to you today, the drill rig has turned up. Now, that's music to any shareholder's ears, because it means that things are going to start to happen. Tell us what your plans are.
Oh, it's music to any geologist's ears as well. As I'm sure most people are aware, there's an acute shortage of drill rigs, drillers, geologists, everything. So we've spent a bit of time and effort trying to get in the preferred drilling contractors, and they've arrived on site, and they'll start drilling within the Pinjin joint venture. So we've decided to drill there first, because some of the targets there are more advanced than at Lake Indana. And okay. In the background, the Greenfields exploration, creating new data sets, that's been ongoing over Lake Indana and parts of the joint venture. And by that, I mean we've acquired some ground gravity, some geophysics to okay. see under the cover. We've undertaken some 2D seismic, which can see down about 2 kilometres, just for us to be comfortable in the regional stratigraphy and architecture.
And what's that shown you? I mean, because you know this, have you been across this ground in the past? Because you're a geologist by background, aren't you?
I am a geologist, and some of you may know, well, Chris Cairns is our chairman at E79.
Wonderful, Chris.
And
nope, I've lost you. I don't know why, but your sound has just gone, Ned.
Ah.
Oh, no, you're back. You're back.
Yeah, I'm back. So Chris Cairns was the managing director of Integra Discovery and Mine Building phase. And then they sold that project to Silver Lake Resources.
Remember that.
Whom I worked for and worked on some of that Integra ground. And then Silver Lake sold that ground to Black Cat Syndicate, where I also worked. So I'm familiar, I'm certainly familiar with the area, and I'm familiar with the way that Chris Cairns has operated his previous companies and the successes that he's had. And so both here and in the Murchison, you know, we'll just follow that blueprint. And it's a remarkably simple story, really.
Okay.
When you want to make a new discovery, there's two main ways to go about it. One is to find a new area, a new search space, as it's called, and begin your exploration, which is what we're doing. And the other way is to go to, say, a historic high-grade mine and search deeper using modern techniques. So Chris Cairns through Integra, Chris Cairns through Staveley Minerals have always chosen the first method, which is to spend a few years finding the area where you want to be and then quietly acquiring ground control in that area, and then start from scratch, create your data sets again, create your geochemical data sets, unpick the geology, and then start exploring. And so...
Which I like. But, Ned, from your point of view as managing director, this is a new company, as I say, new listing, first time we've spoken. What attracted you to this particular company and the ground holding that they've got? I want to hear it from, I guess, from your perspective.
I mean, as an exploration geologist, which is the area I've worked in for the last 15 years, time you can, we all like to make discoveries.
Oh, yeah.
And we feel that the ground holding in the Laverton South area and in the Murchison, but in the Laverton South area is ready for a discovery. So as I mentioned before, the Laverton tectonic zone, it's a very large structure. In the north, there's world-class deposits and a lot of historic exploration. And in the south, there's been much less.
Yeah, why? Why is that? Why? Because, yeah, that whole structure is quite well endowed to the north. Why hasn't anybody been picking up on the south? Or is...
Oh, look, I'm not sure. Certainly it's our gain. You know, once you get a big discovery, you know, I believe Granny Smith was around about 1979, and then, Sunrise Dam and Wallaby in the 1990s. And so once you make that big discovery, then other companies come on in and the area just becomes, a hot area for companies, for work. And that hasn't so far extended into the southern area of the Laverton tectonic zone. But that's not to say you know, there's been 2 million-ounce discoveries within our neighbours in South area within the last 5 to 10 years, and that's the Bombora discovery by Breaker Resources,
yep,
and the Rebecca discovery by Apollo Consolidated. So what little work on a larger scale, what little work has been done in the South has found million-ounce deposits.
So this drill rig's going to get there. So what's the plan? Have you planned out the drill holes? How many, you know, give me a time frame, because as I say, it's not that far until Christmas. Are you going to be drilling through Christmas? How long have you got the drill rig there for? Look, how much money is going into the ground? Because that's where you find discoveries.
Indeed. So we've got about a 25,000-metre initial air core program.
Okay.
We had first envisaged a 20,000-metre program, but some of the geophysical work that we did created some targets that we found in the data. So we've just added a few thousand metres onto the program. So the drillers they're drilling now. 25,000 metres will take a couple of months, and we'll all have a break at Christmas time.
Yep.
But we anticipate finishing in February.
Finishing in February. And, of course, these darn labs at the moment are so backed up, it'll take a little while to get the results through.
Yeah, that's correct. They've been working very hard, the labs, and they're showing, it, notwithstanding the Christmas rush, they're all showing signs of improvement in the turnaround times.
Oh, that's good.
Which is wonderful to hear. But they'll get clogged up again over Christmas, as they do every year. And once they work through that backlog, we're expecting results to start coming back in January and probably finish coming back February, March.
Okay. So that's Laverton South. We've got the drilling underway there. Everything is going along according to plan. Talk to us now about Junga Flats. Where is that in relation? What have you done there? What are you doing there? And why that's of interest to E79 Gold Mines?
Yeah, so Junga Flats really is all about the Big Bell Shear. So it's in the Murchison area. The Murchison Goldfields are another prolifically endowed gold province. And one of the major structures running through the area is the Big Bell Shear. And the Junga South project controls about 50 kilometres of that Big Bell Shear. And so the area itself has had some exploration in the past by large companies, BHP and Newcrest, mm-hmm. and they've done some work, done some initial drilling, found some initial results, and then walked away. So what we've been left with is a nice big land holding, over 300 square kilometres, with some walk-up drill targets ready to test.
So those walk-up drill targets, what did you say? Was it BHP was there before, was that right?
Yeah, BHP and Newcrest. And so they undertook some initial early-stage exploration work and did some early-stage drilling and didn't have the opportunity to follow up their results.
So you think that there's something there, it's mineralised, it's just that it hasn't been done in a systematic way to be able to see what's truly there?
Yeah, and it's kind of been left alone for 20, 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Since those companies were there. And so we certainly see that as a great opportunity for us to make further discoveries.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ned, but has anyone kicked the rocks there recently? I mean, if Newcrest and BHP, 20, 30 years, that's quite a long time. Has anyone else been having a little bit of a kick around there?
Certainly there's a lot of activity in the region, mm-hmm. but this ground hasn't had a lot of systematic and modern exploration since those times.
All right, so what are you going to be doing? Just remind me what you're doing there. Are you going to be doing some soil anomalies, some EM surveys? What are you doing there?
Oh, look, the first thing, and it's underway at the moment, is we are undertaking a large-scale gravity survey.
Okay.
And what the gravity really enables us to do is, in conjunction with the magnetics data, just allows us to see under the cover. Most of this ground is overlain by some sort of cover, and you really need to see the rocks underneath, and that's what the geophysics programs allow us to do. So it allows us to see where within those projects is the best place to spend our money, and it lets us focus in on those areas.
That gravity survey, how long will that take to do? And will you move the rig from Laverton, is it Laverton South, up to?
Laverton South. Yeah. We'll probably have a bit of a break in between.
Okay.
But the geophysical survey should be finished this year. In the acquisition phase, of course, then it needs to be interpreted, and that'll happen around January, February. We'll create some targets. We'll probably move into some soil sampling first before the drilling. And the results from that will really dictate where and how much drilling will occur. It's important to note that geologically within the Jungar South project, there's a really well-developed hard pan, which is just a layer under the soil that prevents the expression from the deposits underneath from reaching the surface. So some of the kind of traditional techniques of soil sampling and assaying haven't been that effective, but the CSIRO has been working on a new technique called ultrafine soils, and we'll be utilising that, which just allows you to see through that hard pan, which will be the first time that a company's been able to properly see the underlying rocks.
So that's a good thing then, isn't it? So technology does make a difference when you're coming into some of these areas where people haven't been able to see it before. What, because, for example, you mentioned Newcrest and BHP. Did they just, like, dip the surface, and did they do any drilling or...?
Yeah, they did some drilling, and you know, they created their targets based on their data sets, and they did first pass drilling, and then they ceased their exploration activities in those areas,
right,
and moved away. These big companies work in a lot of areas,
yeah,
simultaneously, and budgets get allocated and reallocated accordingly. So what I guess in this instance, you know, their data sets were created on some magnetics, some geophysics, and the available soils. We think we've identified a bit of a failing in those soils geologically, and utilising a new technique to see through the cover, and just putting some modern geophysics in as well with the gravity.
How deep is the cover? How are we talking, 1-2 metres or?
Oh, it can be up to 30, 40, 50 metres.
Good Lord, really?
Yeah, up to 100 metres in some places.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really does, it's really beneficial to do this sort of geophysical work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can take your large land holding and fairly cheaply and quickly identify the main areas that you'd like to be doing intensive exploration upon.
I have to ask you, Ned, Chris Cairns is the chairman. How involved is he day-to-day? Because he's also got Staveley over there in the Victorian goldfields.
Oh, look, he's an exploration geologist at heart, so he is very excited. And, yeah, just, you know, it's a project they believe in. It's... something that they've been sitting on for a couple of years, just waiting for the right time to bring it to market, which has been this year.
Right.
Push it through the IPO process, and they're waiting with bated breath, ready to dig in.
You just said that Chris Cairns is excited, Ned. What are you excited about most? Is it Laverton South? Is it Jungar South? Which one?
Oh, look.
Or are they both favoured children?
You never choose between your children. naturally, some will get more work before others.
Yep.
Just a fact of having multiple projects. So our initial focus will be on the Laverton South area, both Lake Indana and the Pinjin JV.
Yep.
My personal belief is the best way for greenfields exploration is to just keep chipping it away at it. Keep building up the data sets. So, you know, while the drill rig might be in one area,
Yep. We're
always creating new data and working on all our projects.
Well, I guess it's a watch this space kind of moment. Ned, I've got to ask you this. It's my sign off for most of my interviews, Ned. I need to know three reasons. This is the first time you've spoken to the wonderful Small Caps audience, and we love them all, and we love to show them new opportunities. And this sounds, you know, do your own research, ladies and gentlemen. You know I always tell you that. But what are the three reasons you think now is a great time for them to sit up and take notice of E79 gold mines?
Look, I think the kind of blueprint that's been set out by Chris Cairns in the companies he's worked for, going into a new area, creating your own data sets and making your own discoveries, really is the key for shareholder wealth. And they've got a history of doing that. I've got a history of doing that. So we are certainly, that's our number one kind of thing, is knowing that we have the people who've done it before, and hopefully we'll do it again. I guess our second main reason, and following on from the first, is you've got to have somewhere to push that passion and push that and the land holding.
I just lost you there for a moment on point two. Just give me point two again, if you could, Ned.
Yeah. So you can hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got that experience and we've got that passion, and now we need an outlet to use it. And that outlet is the tenements that we hold. So two large land holdings in prolific structures, just waiting for us to come along and work our magic.
All righty. Well, it's been absolutely delightful to chat to you today. They listed on the 7th of October. The drill rigs arrived today. Drilling's underway, ladies and gentlemen. So that's how you are going to get results. And we wait with bated breath on the news, Ned. And perhaps we should have another chat in maybe January or Feb next year as those results start to come through and find out what's happening.
Yeah. We look forward to getting some results out of the ground and letting the market know where we're at.
Well, we love having you on the Small Caps platform. So let us know if something comes through any earlier than that. You make sure you give us a call and we'll let our audience know. Thanks so much for joining me on Small Caps today.
My pleasure.